الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, درس القرآن will be imparted. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا، حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها، وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا، حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي، وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي، إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. أولئك الذين نتقبل عنهم أحسن ما عملوا، ونتجاوز عن سيئاتهم في أصحاب الجنة، وعد الصدق الذي كانوا يوعدون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. علامة ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى، who is from amongst the well-known commentators of the glorious Quran, he mentions that wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes to his servants the importance of creating a strong bond with Allah, a strong connection with Allah, immediately thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his servants to establish a strong bond and a strong connection with their parents. This is the style of the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Remember the time when we made an agreement with the Banu Israel, a pact, a agreement. And what was in there? لا تعبدوا إلا إياه. Do not worship anyone besides Allah. وبالوالدين إحسانا. And be dutiful to your parents. So Allah Ta'ala has been mentioned, and immediately thereafter, be dutiful to your parents. Obey your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ. Your Rabb has made a decision. In Surah Banu Israel. What is the decision? أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. You will not worship anyone besides Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be dutiful to your parents. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Worship Allah. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And do not ascribe any partners with Allah Ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be dutiful to your parents. So we find this in many places in the Quran. This is the style of the Quran. That where Allah Ta'ala commands us to obey Him, immediately thereafter Allah Ta'ala commands us to obey our parents. And there are two reasons for this. The first reason is that when we have to fulfill rights in this world as believers or as human beings in general, there are two rights that we have to fulfill. One is known as huququllah, the rights of Allah. You have to believe in Allah. You have to believe He is the only one who is worthy of worship. And thereafter you have to carry out all of His commands. These are the huquq of Allah, the rights of Allah. And the second type of rights are huququl ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah. So each and every person enjoys rights. We will have to fulfill the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from all of the rights of the servants of Allah, all the different types of servants, the servants who enjoy the greatest right upon a person are the parents. So for this reason, after mentioning the right of Allah, immediately thereafter Allah Ta'ala brings the rights of the servants, and from the rights of the servants, He brings the rights of those individuals who enjoy the most rights, who are the parents. So this is one reason. And the second reason is that there are two means for us to come into this world. One is the actual mean, the primary mean. That is Allah. It is because of Allah that we have been created and we have come into this world. Without Allah, it is not possible for anybody to come into this world. He is the creator. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. So He is the original means, the actual means of us coming into this world is Allah Ta'ala. And the secondary means, the apparent means, are our parents. So because these are the two means for us to come into this world, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to obey Him, immediately thereafter He reminds us that although I am the original means and the actual means, the apparent means are your parents, without whom today you would not be in the world. So they enjoy great rights over you, obey them and fulfill their rights. And we also find this in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in that ala ukhbirukum bi akbaril kaba'ir. Should I not inform you that from all the major sins, which sins are the greatest and the most major? So you have sins. Then from the sins you have major sins and minor sins. And then even from the major sins, the ones that are right at the top of the list. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that which are right at the top of the list. Number one, al-ishraku billah, to ascribe partners with Allah. This is top of the list, to ascribe partners with Allah. And thereafter number two, wa'uququl walidain, disobeying one's parents. Not listening to one's parents, not obeying one's parents, making one's parents unhappy. And thereafter number three, وَقَتْلُ النَّفْسِ, to kill an innocent soul. So look, even before mentioning killing an innocent soul, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned uququl walidain, the disobedience of parents. This shows how severe this sin is. So even here, just like in the Quran, after ishraku billah, the right of Allah, Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the rights of the parents. So you find this in the Quran also, and we find this in the hadith also. And when we see the life or the teachings of the previous prophets, then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reproduced the advices of Sayyiduna Luqman alayhi salam in the Quran. Luqman alayhi salam. According to some, he was a prophet. According to some, he wasn't a prophet. He was just someone very pious. But he was known as Luqman Hakim, Luqman the wise. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned his advices in Surah Luqman. An entire surah has been dedicated to his name. So over there, Luqman alayhi salam, his first advice is, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, La tushrik billah. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Do not ascribe partners with Allah, because shirk is a great oppression. And thereafter, the second advice is, Ya Bunayya, innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fil ardi ya'ti biha Allah. Inna Allah latifun khabir. The gist of this is that whatever good or wrong you do in the world, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will bring it forward. Do not think to yourself that this action is very minute, very small, so Allah Ta'ala will overlook it. No, everything will be present then. You will be rewarded for your good, you will be punished for your evil. He is the all-knowing. So the question arises that over here, after Luqman alayhi salam gave the advice to his son that do not commit shirk, he did not follow this usloob and style of the Quran and command his son to be obedient to his parents. He goes on to a third advice. But when we look in Surah Luqman, what we find is that in between Luqman alayhi salam's first advice and Luqman alayhi salam's second advice, Allah Ta'ala brings an ayah of the Quran. And in that ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We command the insan and the human to be obedient to his parents. So Allah Ta'ala first mentions Luqman alayhi salam's first advice. Then Allah Ta'ala brings an ayah that we command the human to be obedient to the parents. And thereafter, Luqman alayhi salam's advices continue. So the style of the Quran remains. Now the question is that why did Luqman alayhi salam, after telling Luqman that the first advice is La tushrik billah, do not ascribe partners with Allah, why didn't he say that be obedient to your parents? Why wasn't this the second advice? So the answer to this is that a noble person never requests anybody to fulfill his rights. You cannot ask for your rights. You cannot demand your rights. A noble person will not demand his rights. This is different that we live in such an era where each person is always demanding his rights. But this is against nobility. A noble person doesn't demand his rights. So Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, although he knew that after saying to my son, do not ascribe partners with Allah, the next advice should be obedient to your parents. But how can I say to my own son, be obedient to your parents, because I am telling him to be obedient to me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself brings this ayah in the Quran in between the two advices. And some commentators of the Quran have mentioned that when Luqman alayhi salam advised his son that obey Allah, then Allah in return is advising the son that you obey your father now. In which there is an indication that if we nurture our children to obey Allah, then naturally they will obey us. So obedience to parents. There are two sins. The first one is in the Quran and the second one is in the Hadith. Regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that these sins, they are so severe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive these sins. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih." Allah ta'ala will not forgive this evil that a person ascribes partners with him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And besides shirk, whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes, He will forgive. Although the rule is that if you commit a major sin, you will have to repent. Only then Allah Ta'ala will forgive. But if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala decides to forgive a person through His rahmah and mercy, then he will be able to do so. But shirk is something that Allah Ta'ala will never forgive. If a person dies as a mushrik, then he will never be forgiven. He will have to repent in this world from shirk and accept iman before he leaves this world. So shirk will not be forgiven. And in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, كُلُّ الذُّنُوبِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءُ. All the sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from amongst them will forgive whichever ones He wishes. إِلَّا أُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Except for the disobedience to parents. The same style here. That Allah ta'ala will forgive all sins except for one. Which one? Disobedience to parents. And this sin of disobeying one's parents is such a severe sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only will He punish the person in the akhirah and the hereafter, Allah ta'ala will punish such a person in this very world. فَإِنَّهُ يُعَجِّلُ لِصَاحِبِهِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ قَبْلَ الْمَمَاتِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah ta'ala will bring the punishment for this individual in this very worldly life before his death. So he will see the punishment for disobeying his parents in this very worldly life. So even here, in Surah Al-Ahqaf, this same style has been adopted. That in the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with regards to establishing His right. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Verily those who say, our Rabb is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And are then steadfast. They bring iman, and after bringing iman, they remain steadfast on the iman also. And they bring the entire deen into their life. These are the rights of Allah. And after mentioning the right of Allah, immediately thereafter in the next ayah, in ayah number 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now sheds light on the importance of being obedient and dutiful to one's parents. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. وَوَصَّيْنَا. We have commanded with full emphasis, wasiya. The word wasiya means when you command somebody with great emphasis. This is why when somebody imparts his final advices before his demise, then we say this is his wasiya. This is his will. So in a wasiyah, although there could be other parts to a will, but wasiyah can also mean those final advices which a person imparts to his close ones just before he's going to leave the world. So when he knows that I am going to leave the world now, these are my final advices. Imagine how much emphasis there will be and how important those final words will be. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. This important advice before the demise, that Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you the religion of Islam. So make sure you do not die except that you are a Muslim. So wasiyah, when you command someone with full emphasis. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا, we command al-insan, the human, with great emphasis, بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, that he is dutiful to his parents, that he serves his parents, that he honors his parents, that he respects his parents, and that he obeys his parents. This is all part of ihsan. So we are commanding the human with full emphasis that he should serve, he should honor, he should respect, and he should obey his parents. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to obey our parents, the reason why the parents enjoy more rights over all other servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because the parents, they endure great difficulties and hardship for the sake of their children. This is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked that ma haqqul walidain ala waladihima, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me, what are the rights of the parents upon their children? Now there are so many rights, that how many rights could Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention in that gathering? So very briefly, in one statement, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summed up how important and how great the rights of the parents are. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Huma jannatuka wa naruka. They are your paradise and they are your hellfire. In other words, if you were to obey them, serve them, respect them and honor them, then by fulfilling their rights, you will gain entry into Jannah. And if you were to disobey them, then this will become a means of your entry into Jahannam. So because parents, they endure great difficulties and hardships for the sake of their children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever He mentions with regards to obeying Him in the Qur'an, immediately thereafter Allah ta'ala turns His attention towards instructing us to obey our parents. The amount of sacrifices that the parents make, that they will, these parents, they will make their children reach their youth, and in doing so, they will destroy their own youth. They will use up everything that they possess. They will sacrifice everything, their own dreams, their own desires, for their children. That's when a child is able to reach his or her peak. And from amongst the two, from amongst the father and the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes special mention of the mother. She enjoys more rights. We learn this from the Quran also, we learn this from the hadith also. And the reason for this is that there are certain difficulties which the mother has to endure, which the father will never have to endure. So Allah Ta'ala further says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا. His mother bore him with hardship. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا. Those months in which the child was inside the womb of the mother. Then in those months, only the mother knows what hardship and difficulty she experiences. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, sometimes more than 9 months. There is nobody else who shares this pain with her. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا. Number two, وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Thereafter, she delivers the child amidst hardship. She delivered him with hardship. This is the second time that when the mother has to deliver the child. So again, when the mother delivers the child, it's only the mother who knows how much pain she has to experience. And again, nobody else can share this pain with her. She is alone in this. And thereafter, number three, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. In there is an indication towards the fostering period. Until the child is weaned off. That from the time the child is born until the child is weaned off, the mother feeds the child. And together with feeding the child, all the other sacrifices that she has to make during those early years, again, this is something which only a mother will do. So three great pains and difficulties that a mother goes through. So for this reason, the mother enjoys even more rights. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, on one occasion, he was sitting in the haram in Makkatul Mukarrama when a person came to him. And this individual, he had made his mother perform tawaf around the Kaaba, and possible he also made her perform Umrah or Hajj. And the manner in which he served her was that he placed his mother on his shoulders. So he lifted his mother on his shoulders because of her age and because of the fact that she was unable to walk. And in this manner he served her. And thereafter he came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and he read these couplets in which he said, Inni laha ba'iruha al-mudhallal. He said, I have become an obedient camel for my mother. In udhirat rikabuha lam udhar. Night, whether it's night or whether it's day. Whether I am healthy, whether I am sick, whether I am free, whether I am busy. At all times, I am there present to serve her. Never do I disobey her. And I have been doing this for many, many years, for a very long period of time. So, حَمَلْتُهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا حَمَلَتْ. I have been carrying her for even longer than she carried me. She carried me for 9 months, and thereafter she gave birth to me, and thereafter she looked after me until I grew up. But I have carried her for a much longer period. So, فَهَلْ جَازَيْتُهَا يَبْنَ عُمَرْ. O Ibn Umar, have I now fulfilled the right of my mother? This was his question. And this question of his, it wasn't the questioning of our time. In our time, if somebody asked this question, the purpose would be that if the Shaykh says that, yes, you have fulfilled her right, then I can now step back. This was the time of nobility. This person felt that what I have done till now I have served my mother. This is a privilege for me, and I will continue to do so. But if Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma was to say to me that, yes, you fulfill the right of your mother, then at least I can feel satisfied that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is not going to question me because I have fulfilled the right of my mother. This was the reason for asking. But what was the reply? The reply of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was, لا ولا بظفرة واحدة. He said, no. When your mother was giving you birth, and that first pain of labor which she experienced, and on that occasion she took a breath, you have not even been able to recompense that moment. So this is being told to that individual who has gone to great length in obeying his mother. Then where do you and I lie? Where do you and I stand? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three moments in which the mother experiences great pain. Number one, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا. That she carries the child. According to the commentators of the Quran, according to the fuqaha and the jurists, the minimum period of pregnancy is 6 months. The minimum period is 6 months. Which means that if after marriage, within 6 months, a woman was to give birth to a child, then this child will be attributed to the husband of this woman. The child will not be labeled as an illegitimate child. So the Quran has mentioned with regards to this here. How has the Quran mentioned regarding this? That here the Quran mentions وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. That his bearing and weaning are completed in a maximum period of 30 months. So when we look in the Quran, we find that in one place Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ. Mothers, they will foster their children. For how long? For 2 years. In another place Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي آمَيْنِ. That you will wean them off within 2 years. So these two ayat inform us that a mother is allowed to feed the child her milk for maximum 2 years. This is the opinion of the Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi. 24 months. So one point that we learn from here is that the minimum period of pregnancy is 6 months. This is why during the time of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was the Khalif, then a case was presented to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in that case, he was informed that a certain woman has given birth to a child and she has only been married for 6 months. Now the norm is that normally a woman expects a child and she gives birth after 9 months. 9 months is the norm. Sometimes slightly less, sometimes slightly more. Sometimes considerably more also. But the Quran has not gone into the debate of what's the maximum period. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after pondering over the situation, he gave the verdict that the woman has committed sin and this child is an illegitimate child. So she will be punished according to the law of Sharia. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sat there. So straight away Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ, from which we learn that the feeding of the mother is 2 years. In another place Allah ta'ala says وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, again we learn it's 2 years. So from these two ayat we can establish that the feeding is for 2 years, for 24 months. And here Allah ta'ala is saying وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا, that the carrying of the child in the womb and the feeding is 30 months. So when we've already established that the feeding is 24 months, there is only 6 months remaining, which shows that the minimum period is 6 months in which a mother can give birth to a child. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he heard this explanation of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he retracted his own statement and he said what Ali radiallahu anhu is saying is correct. And from some narrations we learn that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the leading commentator of the Quran, he also verified this opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu. So one point we learn from here is that the minimum period for pregnancy is 6 months. If a mother or if a woman after marrying, if she was to give birth after 6 months, then this child will be attributed to that father. The child will not be an illegitimate child. And the second point which has been mentioned here is the maximum period of fostering. That the maximum period is 2 years. So after 2 years now, if the mother feels for some reason that this child still needs to continue drinking my milk, then it is not permissible. And then there are many rulings and masail which are derived from here. This is not the time to go into these fiqhi masail and rulings. But one point here is being made. The point which is being made is that by mentioning, the Quran has mentioned the minimum period of pregnancy and the maximum period of fostering. It didn't mention the maximum period of pregnancy and it didn't mention the minimum period of fostering. Because in both of them, there is protection for the woman. Otherwise, if she, after 6 months, after 6.5 months, after 7 months, if she was to give birth to a child, people will begin to point fingers at her. So the Quran made it clear that no, after 6 months, it is possible to have a child. This is protection for her. And on this side, the maximum period of fostering has been mentioned, which is 2 years. Because if a woman was to feed a child within 2 years, then that child becomes a foster son. Now there are rulings for foster mother and foster son. Foster son, foster daughter. So all these rulings, by mentioning the maximum period, this is also protection for the woman. So even here, this from amongst the many places in the Quran, this is another place from which we can understand that to what length the Quran has gone to ensure it protects the rights of women. So this is just a misconception. This is just false propaganda which people try to spread regarding Islam, that Islam does not give rights to women or Islam oppresses women. When we look at the whole picture, we realize that Islam has kept everything in mind with regards to a woman. And there is great emphasis regarding this. So we shouldn't fall for such comments. So anyway, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with regards to the woman. And she has been protected by mentioning the minimum period of pregnancy and the maximum period of fostering. And the reason why she has been given this protection by Allah Ta'ala is because this is her right. This is her right because of the hardships that she has endured. The hardships she has endured when carrying the child, when giving birth to the child, and thereafter also in bringing up the child. So that's the first point that we learn from the initial part of this ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the rights of the parents because the amount of hardships that they endure, nobody else does for anyone else's sake. And number two, the mother, because she endures more hardships, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a special mention of this. And we also find the same in the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned that man ahakku bi husni sahabati. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who enjoys the most right when it comes to me being obedient to them? So upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ummuk, your mother. So the person asked, thumma man, thereafter who? So again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummuk, your mother. He said, thumma man, thereafter who? So again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ummuk, your mother. And thereafter when he said, thumma man, then who? Then he said, then your father. And then those who are close, and then those who are close. Meaning the other relatives, and then the other Muslims. So even here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the mother three times, and thereafter the father on the fourth occasion. And one reason for this is, this very reason, that the mother has to experience three such difficulties which the father does not. Number one, carrying the child. Number two, delivering the child. And number three, feeding the child in his or her infancy. And even here in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions the father once, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, that we commanded man to treat his parents kindly. So over there in parents, you have both father and mother. And thereafter, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا, this is the mother. وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا, this is the mother. And وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا, or in وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, the mother has been mentioned. So the mother again has been mentioned three times, and the father has been mentioned once. So the lesson is that we need to serve our parents, obey our parents, listen to our parents, respect them, and honor them. And the ulama mentioned that when it comes to the khidmah and service, then the mother has more rights than the father. And when it comes to honoring, then the father has more rights over the mother. So both need to be honored also, both need to be served also, both need to be respected also. And by obeying our parents, by keeping them happy, this is the recipe to success in this world also and the hereafter also. A person wants to be successful either from a worldly point of view or from the point of view of the akhirah. So whether it's from the point of view of this world or from the point of view of the akhirah, the way to gain success, one of the best ways and the key is that a person makes his parents happy. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, رِضَى الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ, the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the parents. Meaning if the parents are happy with you, then Allah is happy with you. وَسَخَتُ الرَّبِّ فِي سَخَتِ الْوَالِدِ, and the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies in the displeasure of the parents. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your parents are unhappy with you, then automatically Allah ta'ala will be unhappy with you. So this is the lesson that we learn from the initial part of this ayah. I will end with one incident and inshallah we will continue from here in next week's lesson. Imam Mundiri Rahmatullahi Alayh, who has authored At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, a compilation in which he has compiled many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in there, he has narrated a hadith. And all the masters of hadith have agreed that there is no deficiency in the chain of this hadith. It's a very sound, a hadith with a very sound chain. So in there he writes that an individual, he was traveling and he came to one locality. So he was in the graveyard, and what he saw that after the Asr Salah, an individual was coming out of his grave. And as he was coming out of his grave, this person saw that the bottom half of his body was that of a human being, but the top half was that of a donkey. And three times this person, he brayed like a donkey. And thereafter he went back into his grave. So he went to the locals to ask with regards to this. So they said that he was an alcoholic. And his mother used to advise him to refrain from alcohol. She would give him advice, she would give him nasiha. She would tell him, Al-Khamru Jumma'ul Ismi, that alcohol is the mother of all evils. You should refrain from alcohol. She would say, it's a rijsum min amali shaytan. It's filth. It's from the handiworks of shaytan. The Quran says, Fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun. Refrain from alcohol so that you may be successful. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر. All shaitan wants is that you become intoxicated, so as a result of this, you harbor enmity and hatred with others. ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة. Then it will prevent you from remembering Allah. It will prevent you from salah. So she would advise him in this manner. Just like any parent does when they see that the child is doing something which is leading him or her towards destruction. But shababu shu'batun min al-junun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that youth is a period of insanity. The young man or the young woman, the young boy or the young girl, at that time, they do not realize what they are doing. They do not realize the consequences of their actions. And they think to themselves that, who are my parents to tell me? What do they know? I know better. They were born in a different era. And I am born in this era, so I know the world better than them. But what we have to realize is, if they have been here longer, then they know the world better than us. How can it be that you've only been in the world for 20 years and they've been in the world for 50 years and you think to yourself that you know the world better than them? But at that time, a child will not understand. It's very important. And that child is extremely fortunate who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this understanding that whatever my parents tell me, that is best for me. That child is very fortunate, especially in the environment that we live in. Because when you live in a certain environment, you are influenced by that environment, the way the people think in that environment. So one of the great ills of living in the Western world is the fact that there is no regard for one's elders and for one's parents. There is no regard. Otherwise, where we all or our parents came from, an old people's home was something which was unheard of. But now, because of being influenced by this environment, it's something completely normal.
So children need to understand that their parents, whenever they will tell them something, they will only tell them that which is for their good. This is the only people who will always tell you those things which are for your good, and they will be sincere in their advice. You will not find anybody else. But what do we do? The mistake we make is we give preference to friends. The youth give preference to friends over parents. Friends are everything. Because he said it, so it's right. What do my parents know? And when do we realize? You realize when you yourself become a parent. But now it's too late. When you yourself become a parent, that's when you realize that whatever my parents used to say to me, I should have listened. But now you are on the opposite end. Now you are trying to explain to your children and they are not willing to listen to you. And as I mentioned right at the beginning, that this punishment of disobedience to parents, a person will experience in this very world. And one of the punishments is this, that a person who disobeys his parents, Allah Ta'ala will give him children who will disobey him. There are incidents like this. There are incidents where a son was drugging his father. The people said, how wretched are you? How can you do such a thing? You're drugging him in the street. So this old man began to say that do not blame him, blame me. Because when I was his age, I did the same to my father. So when a person disobeys his parents, he will see the punishment of that in this very world. And what happens in the akhirah, only Allah Ta'ala knows. So this mother, she was advising her son to refrain from alcohol. So what would he say? When she kept advising him, then she said, this young boy, he said to his mother, that stop braying like a donkey. In our time, you will hear some children or some youth will say, stop barking like a dog. So speaking like this to one's parents. So he said, stop braying like a donkey. So the people of that town said that because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him in this way. That every day after Asr Salah, he comes out of his grave, the top half of his body has turned into the body of a donkey, and he brays 3 times like a donkey, and then he goes back into his grave. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us all the ability to understand the importance of obeying our parents, being dutiful to them, and the importance of refraining from disobeying our parents. Some of the commentators of the Quran have mentioned that in order to fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should perform the 5 times salah. And in order to fulfill the rights of our parents, after each salah, 5 times a day, we should read this dua and we should make this dua. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. That, O our Rabb, you have mercy upon my parents just as they had mercy upon me when they nurtured me and when they brought me up. So this is the least a person can do, that he makes dua for his parents. And together with making dua for one's parents, then we should serve them as much as we can. And we should obey them. We should respect them. And we should most definitely not disobey our parents. When they tell us to do something, whether we can understand the wisdom behind it or not, we should carry it out. The Quran says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. That do not even say uff to your parents. Children, they will tut. In our society, tut. And tut is something very small. Now, they will speak back also. They will swear also. They will question also. But the Quran says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, that you do not even have permission to say uff. And the commentators say that uff was the lightest word the Quran could have used. That's why the Quran has used uff. Otherwise, if there was something lighter, the Quran would have used that lighter word also. Meaning, do not even raise your eyes or roll your eyes when your parents tell you to do something. With your face expressions, do not show that I am not happy with what you have told me to do. So it's a very delicate matter. It's a very delicate matter. It's not that it's a sin and if I'll repent and everything will be okay. No, the disobedience to parents is a very delicate matter. And on the other side, the obedience to parents, there are so many benefits of this. So many benefits of being obedient to parents. Now that I've mentioned that, let me conclude with another story, which I've mentioned before also. During the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, during his time, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam once asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, I want to know who my companion is going to be in Jannah. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was informed that your companion in Jannah is going to be that local butcher. So he was extremely surprised that I am such a great prophet of Allah and my companion in Jannah is going to be this very simple, normal person who is a butcher. So he said to the butcher, I want to come to your house today. And I want to... The reason was he wanted to observe and see that what's special about this person. So when this person returned home, he prepared the meal. And after preparing the meal, he chewed the food and he began to feed his elderly mother who was unable to eat or who was very elderly, very sick. He served his mother in this manner. And after this, he saw that the mother was saying something. Thereafter, he came with the food and presented it to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and said, the food is ready, please eat. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, I am not going to eat until you tell me about what has just happened. So he said, she is my elderly mother. She is unable to cook. She is unable to eat herself. So every day after coming from work, I make the food and I feed her. So he said, tell me, what was she saying? So the butcher said that every day after I feed her, she gives me this dua and she says that because you are serving me and looking after me, may Allah Ta'ala make you the companion of the Prophet of our time, Musa alayhi salam. But I am a simple person. Where will Musa be and where will I be? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said that your mother's dua is so powerful that forget Jannah, in this very world you are sitting next to Musa. The dua has been accepted. This is called earning the duas. I have mentioned before, one is you make dua. So we have been told to make dua. We should make as much dua as possible. Number two, you request duas, that please make dua for me. Ashrikni fi du'aika ya ukhayya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, that when you go for Umrah, remember me in dua also. So you're requesting dua. But the dua which will strike magic in a person's life is the dua which is earned. When you earn a dua, when you make your parents, your teachers, your elders so happy with you that from the depth of their heart a dua instantly comes out. Now that dua will be such that something which takes years upon years to achieve, you will achieve it within a moment. To become the companion of the Prophet, how much ibadah would a person have to do? But look, through this one dua, something that would have taken years to achieve, he achieved it in a moment. We have to become from those who earn du'as. And how do you earn du'as? Khidmah and adab. You serve and you display respect. This is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, on one occasion it was khidmah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to relieve himself, so he placed some water there so he can perform wudu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who put this water here? They said it was Ibn Abbas. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Oh Allah, grant him the knowledge of the Quran. And on a second occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing tahajjud with Ibn Abbas. So in namaz, he pulled him forward so that they both stand together. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma took 2-3 steps back. So after namaz, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, when I moved you forward, why did you move back? So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that, I am a young child. It doesn't befit me to stand in line with such a great person like you. This was the respect. How can I stand in the same line? We should not walk in front of our parents. Today we walk in front of our parents. If our parents are sitting on the floor, we shouldn't sit on top of the chair. This is all adab. So even on this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the dua, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. Oh Allah, grant him wisdom. Faqihu fi deen. Grant him the deep understanding of deen. So because of these two incidents, on one occasion he displayed adab, and on the other, khidmah, service. And it wasn't just these two incidents, he did it many times. But when you do it once, twice, three times, a time comes when you earn that dua. So when he earned these du'as, then till today he is Ra'isul Mufassirin, the leading commentator of the Qur'an. Nobody can match him when it comes to explaining the Qur'an. So let us be from those who obey our parents and not from those who disobey their parents. And let us become from those who earn the du'as of our parents. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاك الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي يطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Sami'a Allahu liman hamida.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Perfect.